Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of James. Book of James, chapter 4. James chapter 4 has a verse in it that I have often thought I'd like to take an X-Acto knife and remove. It has one of the most serious verses directed at believers. Now, a believer is one that has accepted Christ as their Savior and desires to be a follower of the Lord. A lot of times we have people that get confused about the term Christian and born again. May I say this? Not every person born again is a Christian. To be a Christian means to be what? Christ-like. And some people are born again. They may have gotten saved when they were in vacation Bible school or in Sunday school or at a revival service, and they went to church for a while and then stopped going. Are they now a Christian? They've been born again. But if they're not attending church, they're not a Christian, are they? No. Christ has an attitude. He has a walk. And if we are going to be a Christian, we have to be Christ-like. And unfortunately, many in today's society want to say they're Christians because, well, after all, they're not a heathen. But I think it's one of the problems we have in America today is we call ourselves a Christian nation, and we're far from being a Christian nation. In fact, we are no longer drifting from the Word of God. We have turned the motor on and added a second motor, and we're going as fast as we can away from the Word of God. When you have governors that can say churches can't meet, you have a problem, folks. You have a problem. And the fact is, we have a society today that has said, we believe in science and we don't need the Word of God. They have deceived themselves. But we'll get to that verse shortly. But Chambers writes concerning James chapter 4, verse 17, live for something. Live for something. Do good. And leave behind you a monument of virtue that the storm of time can never destroy. Write your name in kindness, love, and mercy on the hearts of thousands you come in contact with year by year. You will never be forgotten. Know your name, your deeds will be as legible on the hearts you leave behind you as the stars on the brow of evening. Good deeds will shine as the stars of heaven. Shall we stand together? James chapter 4, beginning at verse 5. James 4, verse 5. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. What was Satan's sin? Pride. God resisteth the proud. Verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There was one lawgiver who was able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Verse 17. I read it because it is there. And to every believer, take heart. This is written to you. Right? Do not get upset at the messenger. But I bring you the message. Verse 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to what? Do good. And doeth it not. To him it is what? Sin. Do you agree with that verse? Some of you do. Some of you think that's a trick question. Some of you, like me, wish we could take an X-Acto knife and remove that verse. But to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy, your long suffering. Lord, we just ask now as we do some thoughts from this chapter of the book of James, that, Lord, you would bless. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Last week, we concluded our sermon with the ability to lead a victorious spiritual life. In verse 7, it was submit to the Lord. In verse 8, it was draw nigh to the Lord. In verses 9 and 10, humble yourselves before the Lord. James was saying, some of you are sinners and you even gloat about it. You boast about it. You ought to be crying and mourning. And your laughter should be turned to mourning, it says, and your joy to heaviness. Sin should not be something in which you are, well, I got away with it and God's not going to touch me. Let me tell you this. God judges all sin. Okay? God hates sin. Now, he may not kill you, but I'm going to tell you something. You will be judged. If number one, you won't receive the blessings you could have received. And number two, he will bring things into your life that you wish he hadn't brought in. Now, I'm not sure how he's going to judge, but he will. He has to. In these seven verses we've just read, James is warning his readers to do right. For life is short at best. At best. Warren Wiersbe writes, these people knew the will of God but chose to disobey it. Why do people who know the will of God deliberately disobey it? I have already suggested one reason, pride. Man likes to boast that he is master of his fate, the captain of his soul, unquote. David Sorensen comments, the sin of omission clearly is at hand. In other words, failing to seek God's will for decisions in our lives is knowing to do good and doing it not, and thus it is sin. Unquote. Two commentators, two thoughts, similar but different. One suggests that the readers already know the will of God and refuse to do it. The other suggesting that some do not know the will of God and refuse to seek it. And maybe alluding to James chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. But either way, to me, this is the scariest verse directed at born-again believers found in the New Testament. Therefore, listen, pardon, don't rush over this portion. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good. Now, I'm going to tell you a couple of things right now, things that we know we should do, right? We know we should never eat lima beans. Now, that's a given. How many of you are sinners and you eat lima beans? Did you see that, Brother Bob? We got sinners in our church. Yeah. Number two, let me tell you this. God did not intend for us to drink coffee. Let me ask you this. How many of you, when you drink coffee, you add cream and sugar? Yeah? Why? Now you say, Pastor Paul, do you really think it's wrong to drink coffee? I've had 3 sips in my life, and I didn't like any of the 3. No, I can joke about certain things, like lima beans and peas and coffee. I can do that. But are there things you know you shouldn't do? Yeah. You know it, right? In fact, some of you right now know there are things you are doing right now you shouldn't do. Yes? You're just being on your best behavior right now. But some of you know. Because as soon as we read this verse, automatically the Holy Spirit says, doink. Do I have to tell you what it is? No. We read about the last couple of weeks about bitterness in our lives. Is that something we know we shouldn't have? Yeah. Strife, envying, deception. These are things that we have in our lives. Do you think there are people in here right now that are deceptive? Yes? There are. Do you think there are people in here right now who are bitter? Full of envy, strife? Sure. To him that knoweth to do good. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not. Now, have you ever been to a doctor and the doctor said, this is what you need to do? And you went out of the office fully intending to do it. And you never did it. Yes? You knew what you should do. Why didn't you? Because change is hard. It is hard sometimes to do the right thing. It's a struggle. Because by nature, we resist. We resist. And we say, I know I should do that, but I'm not going to do it. To him, it is sin. Sin means to miss the mark. It's an archery thought of taking a bow and an arrow and shooting it at a target, and you miss it. It is to trespass. It's to go where you know you shouldn't go. What is the one thing that happens when you tell a child not to do something? Quite often they want to do it, right? They've been told not to do it. Then that's the one thing they want to do. Yes. It's to do something you know you shouldn't do. It's to refuse to do right. To refuse. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, there are people in our church that refuse to do the right thing at times. Now, not your pastor. He is always right. You don't agree with that? You're being so kind. Come on, folks. Am I always right? Would you like me to always be right? You wouldn't like me. It's hard to do right all the time, isn't it? To do right. But how many refuse to do right? To knowingly do wrong. To knowingly do wrong. That is sin. Sin will take us where we do not want to go. Sin will cost us more than we will want to pay. And sin will keep us longer than we will want to stay. Satan wants each and every one of us. Now, if he can't have our soul for eternity, he wants our life for as long as he can have it. He wants us. Can I give you that warning? He wants us. He wants Pastor Paul. He wants our deacons. He wants our trustees. He wants our teachers. He wants those who are involved in the work of the Lord. He wants every one of you. Do you agree with that statement?
Yes.
He wants you. And he will do anything he can to get you. The devil is a liar. Do you agree with that statement? The devil is a liar. Has he lied to you today? He already has. Sure he has. He tries to create confusion. Is our society confused today? We're full of confusion. We are full of things that we are being told from multiple directions. And Satan loves it. He loves it. In Sunday school and church, we teach that we are created by a divine creator. What does Satan say we're created by? Chance. Chance. It's faith. Do you realize that? You either believe there is an almighty God, okay? Or you believe there was nothing until something was there. How did it get there? Does it take faith to believe there was a ball of energy? It takes faith. In fact, it takes more faith to believe in evolution than to believe in a creator God. Because if there's a creator God, he spoke everything into existence. If you're an evolutionist, you have to believe there was an energy, that it exploded, and somewhere in multiple billions of years, you came along. Confusion. Confusion. Let me ask you this. Is there one right way for sexual relationships? A man and a man? No? Well, why not? They love each other. Isn't love enough? Satan says it is. Confusion. Confusion. If there is a creator God, he has the right to tell us how we should have sexual relationships, right? One man, one woman. Correct? That's what we teach. What does Satan teach? He says, whatever you want. Whatever you want. How about abortion? It's my body. It's my right. Is it? The Lord says that life is precious. Our Lord is pro-life, correct? Yeah. Satan says, hey, you have a choice. There is confusion. Satan creates confusion. And in our society, we have a lot of confusion. A lot of confusion. In the book, The Valley of Vision, a Puritan minister's prayer is recorded. I'd like you to listen carefully. Thou God of all grace, thou hast given me a Savior. Produce in me a faith to live for him, to make him all my desire, all my hope, all my glory. May thy dear Son preserve me from this present evil world, so that its smiles never allure, nor its frowns terrify, nor its vices defile, nor its errors delude me. May thy dear Son preserve me from this present evil world. Do we live in an evil world? So that its smiles never allure, nor its frowns terrify, nor its vices defile, nor its errors delude me. Number one, so that its smiles never allure. This type of pressure comes under the guise of friendship. Friendship with the world. These smiles offer approval and acceptance. These pressures lead us to conform to the ways of the world. Solomon warned that the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Yet how many Christians, feeling pressured by the world, slowly remove the safeguards that keep one safe from the evil one? They stop praying. That's a dangerous thing for a believer, to stop praying. They stop reading their Bible. They stop attending church. These are things that we need to do to protect ourselves. They begin hanging out with the wrong company. And that can be online. Be careful how much time you spend on Facebook and all the other things that are out there. Because after all, though everything online is true, you don't need to be spending all your time online. Be careful. Be careful. Be careful who you begin to read and hang around with. Joining in the wrong activities. James wrote that the friendship with the world is enmity with God. Enmity. It means ill will, animosity, displeasure. Do you want God to be displeased with you? Okay, I heard a couple of people over here. Let me ask that question again. I want every one of you to answer, either yes or no. Do you want God to be displeased with you?
No.
You don't want it, do you? Obviously. You don't want him to be displeased. So if we become a friend of the world, he becomes displeased with us. May the dear Son preserve me from this present evil world so that its smiles never allure, number two, nor its frowns terrify. Listen carefully. In today's world, the believer of the Bible is met with many who call us intolerant. They call us haters. They call us prejudiced, bigots, biased, ignorant. Who are they calling intolerant? They're calling God intolerant. Because if you're following the Word of God and they say you're intolerant, they're not calling you intolerant, they're calling God intolerant. In fact, there are some preachers who have gone on record that said if God doesn't love the homosexual, they don't want that God. Does God want the homosexual? Oh, he does. He wants them to repent. Yes. He wants them to do right. Didn't God tell Cain, if you do right, all will be well, and if you don't, sin lies at the door? They call us intolerant. They say we're ignorant and biased. Folks, I tell you what it is they don't want to believe the Word of God. Jesus told his disciples not to be surprised if the world hates them because they first hated him. Our spiritual enemy is a liar, a deceiver, and a murderer. Jesus said, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." It's why we need to know the Word of God. It's why we need to be a part of the church, to draw encouragement one from another. May thy dear Son preserve me from this present evil world so that its smiles never allure, nor its frowns terrify, nor its vices defile. Vices, wickedness, corruption, immorality, depravity. Take your Bibles and turn to Galatians chapter 5, if you would, please. Galatians chapter 5, we'll begin at verse 19. The works of the flesh are recorded here. Nor its vices defile. Verse 19, Galatians 5. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Nor its vices defile. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll begin reading at verse 1. Well-known words. I've used them recently in a sermon. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Nor its vices defile. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Let me read it to you. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Nor its vices defile. Jude 3 and 4, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. May I say this, many today are denying that the Lord has the right to tell you how you should live. There are those who struggle with the Word of God, because humanism tells us, I'm okay, you're okay. Humanism tells us that we all have a right to do what we want to do. But God says, I have a way. I have a way. May the dear Son preserve us from this present evil world, so that its smiles never allure, nor its frowns terrify, nor its vices defile. Number 4, nor its errors delude me. The Apostle Paul cautions Christians not to be deluded, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Ephesians 4:14. Too many in the church today are one way on Sunday and a different way on Monday. They go back and forth. Paul also warned Timothy, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. 1 Corinthians 6, 20 and 21. The new CEO of the Institute for Creation Research, the Morris family is finally stepping down, and a Dr. Randy Galuza writes that our spiritual enemy manipulates society with corrupted governmental, educational, entertainment, and even religious institutions. Taken together, this world system opposes the spread of the gospel by blinding people's minds through lies and confusion, fostering the enslaving pleasures of sin, and intimidating believers through sanctioned harassment and persecution, unquote. Folks, we are in a battle today, a spiritual battle. And it's not like there hasn't been a spiritual battle from the very beginning. There has been. But folks, we have the whole Word of God today. The whole Word of God. We have churches where we can gather together and hear the whole Word of God. Then why are we so weak? Because Satan is so strong. He is a liar and we believe the lies. He's a deceiver and we are easily deceived. So what do we need to do? The Ephesian believers were exhorted to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Ephesians 6:11-16. And remember this, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Put on the whole armor of God. May thy dear Son preserve us from this present evil world, so that its smiles never allure, nor its frowns terrify, nor its devices defile, nor its errors delude me. Folks, be on guard. Be on guard. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Shall we stand together? The song of invitation this morning will be, Lord, I'm coming home, 384. I know that there are people in this room right now that are struggling with issues. And I know that when we have a sermon like this and we give an invitation and someone comes forward, people begin to think, well, why are they going forward? Can I say this to you? It's none of your business. Okay? And may I say this, if you need to come forward, don't let someone else on the other side of the auditorium keep you from coming forward. You need to get something right with God. You know what you should do? Get right with God. There's nothing more important in your life, nothing more important in your life than being right with God. Okay? And if you need to come forward and pray, do so. If you want someone to pray with you, we'd be glad to do it. If you can't bow down here because of health issues, you can sit on the front pew. Or maybe you just want to sit right where you're at and offer a word of prayer to the Lord. Don't ever be afraid to pray to the Lord. Don't ever be afraid. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask as we have this invitation time that you would bless it. Lord, we know that the Spirit has moved upon those that are here. We know that there have been those who have been convicted. And Lord, we know that victory could be had. And we ask, Lord, that your will would be done this morning. And we ask this in Jesus' name, and again with thanksgiving. Amen.